And welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Developing Up podcast. I'm your host, Mike Miles, and this is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer, because your career is about more than the code you write. So if you call yourself a programmer, a developer, a script kiddie, a database administrator, a technologist, a technical architect, whatever you call yourself, if it's your job to write code, this is the podcast for you. And to all the new listeners out there, I want to say welcome, thanks for joining us. And for all the repeat listeners, hey, thanks for coming back and listening to another episode. And this is episode 33, that's 33, which means the show notes for this episode are available at developingup.com/33. Today's episode was actually recorded quite a while ago, back in September of 2017. It was recorded on site when I attended a hackathon, the Hack for the Sea hackathon in Gloucester, Massachusetts. You've never been to a hackathon, or if you haven't heard of what hackathons are, it's a chance to build something. Usually hackathons are kind of competitions. They can be a week, they can be a weekend, they can be a day. But there's a central theme, and you form teams, you build something using technologies either you're used to or you're not used to, and then you present it, and usually there's prizes. And I found out about this hackathon actually when I was on vacation. I saw a flyer for it, and I was like, oh, that sounds really fun. So I had a chance to go and do it. While I was at the hackathon, I got to talking with the organizer, Mark Henderson, and we decided to sit down and talk about the value of challenging yourself as a developer, which is one of the things you get to do at a hackathon. So what you're going to hear now is me and Mark in the middle of a hackathon talking about the value of challenging yourself as a developer. We get into a little developer existentialism, I think, but really interesting takeaways and topic. So this is me talking with Mark Henderson, and then afterwards I'll come back and we'll talk about a few key points. Tell me a bit about yourself and your history as a developer.
Sure. My name is Mark Henderson. I go as Mark Robert Henderson under LinkedIn and all those things.
You go by your full...
I go by my full name because there's a ton of Mark Hendersons.
Okay.
And the other Mark Henderson is like exotic photographer of sorts. So I want to distance myself from that when people Google my name. I started out as a musician. So I studied classical guitar in college, and I was studying audio engineering for the most part, and I was wanting to get into video game music. First job out of college was at a video game company as a music coordinator, but they were a startup and they folded. And then what happened soon after that was that society began to just devalue music and art and things like that. And, you know, nowadays people get paid fractions of pennies for Spotify plays as musicians and stuff. So the music jobs were few and far between. But when I was in high school, I made a website commemorating the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine, Tom Morello. And I was like, I can probably do that again. I know HTML and I know some CSS and stuff. And that was like the 90s. So like that website was like taking HTML styles and like CSS was just invented. And I was like, I could refactor this with CSS. How cool is that? And, you know, it was like ECMAScript like 3 or 2.
Oh, man.
Two
was
that
like a GeoCities website?
You know? It was a tripod website.
A tripod website.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I remember those days.
From that point on, I mean, turns out this is a great theme for the episode because it was just constantly failing and hitting challenges and left and right. Over time, the failure started to morph into successes or at least neutral outcomes that then became successes. And now I'm a senior developer at a company in Cambridge.
What company do you work for?
A company called Quasi.
Quasi.
Yeah, and it's spelled funky. It's C-U-A-H-S-I.
Oh, man.
And it's an acronym for the Consortium of Universities for the Advancement of Hydrological Sciences, Incorporated. I'm sort of the lead developer on one of the major projects there, and things feel okay, and I feel a lot more stable than when, you know, I was
when you first
12 years ago, and the startup I was working for folded, and I needed to pay rent, so I had to go do a bunch of Craigslist gigs and stuff.
You know, in development, everything you do is pretty much brand new every time. Like, every challenge you face is a brand new challenge, whether you're doing something for a client or not. And they say they want the same thing as something you've done before, it's a completely different beast every time.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Even if it's a forgot password flow on a new website that you're working on, which I don't know how many times I've created this one piece of functionality in different frameworks and stuff like that, but like, yeah, there's always some nuance to it, or there's always some, oh, that's how you access the database? Okay. Or that's how that user record is stored? That's different. You know, there's always different nuances that pop up in anything that you do that would seem like it should be repetitive.
I see the value of challenging yourself as a developer is that you prevent yourself from stagnating. And what I mean by that is not just stagnating in terms of using the same framework, using the same language. You know, that's not, I don't see that as stagnation. I see stagnation as solving every problem the same way.
Interesting.
Where, like, you could learn, so the example you just brought up of forgot your password, right? You could figure out one way to do that, and then you could be like, that's it. That's how I build forgot password stuff. I'm never going to try to make it work better based on feedback or anything. I'm just, that's the way I do it. And that's the risk of not challenging yourself with things you know or things you don't know, is that you risk stagnating on how you solve problems, and then you risk not getting better at how you solve problems.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a... There's the tools that are in your toolkit which can grow stale, and you know, your so-called knives, your figurative knives, can get dull over time. But there's also like the idea of, I'm going to reach for a knife every time, or I'm going to just utilize my tool belt in the same way. Your mindset and your approach are as valuable as just the actual tools that you're using or the code that you end up writing.
The mindset approach is more valuable than, in my opinion, than the tools or the code itself, because the tools and the code, that's going to change over the course of your development career.
Sure.
You've probably even seen it from starting with a tripod, HTML, brand new CSS website to, you know, what you're building now.
Nope. Same exact thing every time.
No. Right. Same thing every time. It hasn't changed. But, right, I mean, that progression, I'm sure, in your career has changed. The languages you're using, the tools you're using to build applications has changed. But those are ancillary to the mindset you've applied to, I'm going to solve this problem in a new way. I'm going to challenge myself not to do it the way I know already.
Yeah.
And like to figure out the right way to do it.
Yeah, I think there's tiers to that. There's not knowing stuff and thinking that you know stuff. Not knowing stuff and knowing that you don't know stuff. Knowing stuff and thinking that you know stuff. And then finally knowing stuff and still even then knowing that you don't know anything.
All right, I want to break down.
And that's like a progression that you go, and you have to challenge yourself to get through every single stage of that until you finally reach the enlightenment.
I really like, can we break each one of those down? All right, what was the first one?
All right, so the two categories of whether or not you actually know anything, and then the other category is whether or not you believe that you know things.
Okay.
And there's four subsets.
Right. So let's go for the first.
So the first one is, I don't know anything, and I know that I don't know anything. Which is like the absolute beginner.
Okay.
And then the challenges that you face at that stage are, I need to learn things. But then you end up with the first sort of like misenlightenment phase, where you learn enough stuff and you start to think, oh, I know what I'm doing. You know, and it's like a false expert phase when you reach this thing. And you see a lot of junior developers, they think they know the answers to all these problems. And it's like, you may know the technical skills. Beyond that, there's all sorts of soft skills and all sorts of management skills and just collaboration skills that they probably have no idea what to do. And I'm generalizing a lot.
I can self-identify, and I'm assuming a lot of listeners can identify with reaching that stage when you're like, oh yeah, I'm awesome at this. Like, I can do that. Like,
yeah.
You're just like, all right, I know how to do this. I don't need, you know, no one's going to tell me I'm doing it wrong because I know exactly. And that's a false pretense you may have. Like, losing that idea of, I still have more to learn in this is a very dangerous at that phase of challenging yourself.
There's a strength and a detriment to that. A good example is like, you know, I just spent 8 hours trying to track down this bug, and I know my code is perfect because I wrote it and I checked it and I unit tested every line of that. It's 100% coverage, but the server ran out of disk space or something like that. And you're like, oh, you know, you overlook really obvious things. So start there and look at those things and the really obvious stuff that you're going to overlook because you think you're an expert.
So there's a challenge there.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing.
Be dumb again.
To be dumb again. That's a good way to put it. But the challenge is like, in that scenario with a bug where you're just like, I know it's not my code, but challenge yourself to think, well, what if it was my code? What could be causing the problem?
Yeah.
That's an interesting insight.
So then I think that carries you into phase three, where you start to learn from your mistakes and you start to really know stuff, and you actually do know stuff. You do know to look at those things, but you still carry the arrogance with you to think, well, I know everything and I've proven now that I know everything. So don't challenge me. I still know what I'm talking about. And I think that's a common phase. I think it's less harmful than not knowing things and thinking that you know things. But still, going back to the soft skills, it still makes you somebody that people don't like working with. And that's, you know, if you're working in an organization or you're collaborating with people, that's gonna harm you.
I've mentioned this multiple times last season, this season, where development is the ultimate team sport. Yeah. So it doesn't matter how, like, you can be the number one star of the team, but you still need the team. So to think that, like, you can do everything and you don't need anyone's help, can't be challenged with what you know and how you approach things, is very dangerous, and it isolates you, may risk you to solve the wrong problems that you're trying to build software to solve.
Yeah, absolutely. And then finally, you know, the fourth phase is you enter this sort of the true enlightenment phase where you know all the things, your skills are really good, you work really well with the team, and you get to that code review that you've been dreading because it's the fifth time this one person has been really on you about this whole thing, and you can calmly turn to them and say, you know what, you might be right. You might have a point. Let's talk about that. And you can just interact with somebody. And then that's when you transition into a leadership role, because now you're showing people how to react to criticism and how to handle situations that are outside of your main mode of thought, which might be coding or database engineering or something like that. You're showing people how to collaborate. And the next time you have a challenge to that person that challenges you, they will almost likely reciprocate in kind, and it'll become a true collaboration.
That's an interesting transition to reach when you reach that level as a developer, when you're, like, for lack of a better word, like the top tier of where you need to be, and you really have to start challenging yourself to challenge others and to lead others. And it's a completely different skill set. And eventually in your career, you may reach a level where that's the next step for you. That's the next challenge.
You hear the term the 10X developer or something like that. And I think that's the hidden secret to all of this, is that they don't write code 10 times faster than anybody else. They just know how to navigate all the different social and political aspects of their organization to say, all right, I need to write this new feature. Let me just talk to 5 people and just figure out exactly what they're asking me to do and stuff. And then you find out that it's 10 times less work than what you had in your head planning to go into it with. And it's like, oh, wait, I actually just have to do this one thing and write this one function instead of adding this whole new module to the thing like I thought I was going to do. Or at any step in the process, there's things that you can benefit from just working with people. And I didn't come into this podcast expecting to be talking about soft skills so much.
I think that's the underlying difficulty with being a developer or wanting to be, like, a great developer. It's more this way. Anyone can write code. Anyone can learn a framework. But you have to apply yourself to learn these soft skills so that you can improve in your strengths and you can rely on others to cover your weaknesses and build something better and get better where you do have weaknesses. And that's a challenge in itself, is being able to recognize, hey, I am not great at this part of development. For example, for myself, I'm a backend developer. I write server code most of the time.
Yeah.
I know I have a very strong weakness of writing CSS and having things work in browsers and look beautiful. I can't do that very well. I could do it, but I'm not a 10X developer to do that. So I rely on other people who have that skill set to do that for me.
Yeah. And how long did it take you before you actually were able to hold your hand up and say, yeah, I'm not good at this, can somebody help?
Oh, a long time. Because going back to, you know, when you're doing project work and you're being paid for it, there's a difference between using that time and then wasting that time that you're being paid to do those things, and when you can rely on someone who they're doing that as their expertise.
It's counterintuitive. I think that's what people grow into, because somebody new might think, oh, I'm not good at JavaScript, and I shouldn't admit that, because then people are going to look at me as the guy who's not good at JavaScript, and I'll get fired or something like that, or people will think I'm less useful. But that level of honesty is either going to lead to really two outcomes. Somebody's either going to say, how can we give you the resources so that you can learn JavaScript or learn whatever it is that's challenging you? Or they'll just say, all right, that's fine, so-and-so will do it instead.
Yeah.
And it could even, it's not a problem.
I could see it even, there's a third opportunity there where if you can be honest and say, I don't know how to do this, someone else is going to handle it. We're going to give you the smaller part so you can learn a little bit more, like, to work towards it. And that's a big part of, like, if you have a manager and asking for that and telling them, I don't feel comfortable doing this all on my own, can I get some help? That's a challenge. And then you get a little piece that you can chew on and get better at.
A good manager makes a really big difference too for anybody that's under them. I think if you can sense that your manager is one of the phase two or phase three of the sort of thinking they know something phase of that, is a tricky thing, because then you have to sort of manage up and
stroke
their ego a little bit as you work with them.
I can name a couple of ways as a developer I try to challenge myself, or I seek to challenge myself. I think there's one big common one that we're involved in right now.
This hackathon?
Yeah, like a hackathon in general.
Yeah, so we're sitting in an adjacent room to where the 2017 Hack for the Sea event is happening. And I think just going to hackathons and inserting yourself into a team of people that you've never met, I encourage people to go alone to hackathons and not go with a predisposed team. Coming up with ideas on the fly and then trying to execute something in the allotted time that you have is a wonderful challenge, because you get to start from scratch. And I think so many developers say, oh, I wish I could just start this project from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, if I could start from scratch, I would do this thing differently. And you say that even at the end of a project. You work on something from scratch for 6 months, and then at the end of it, you're like, I want to start this over again.
That proves to you you're a good developer if you can look back and be like, if I started this now, I'd do it completely differently.
Yeah. That's actually a good thing. I think people see that as a bad thing or see that as something disappointing, but that's actually a really good thing. And hackathons give you that opportunity. What you see a lot of people doing at hackathons is playing with a different technology than what they're used to. So this is my opportunity to try Node.js, so this is my opportunity to try PHP or something like that. And I think that's cool, too. And I say do it. I mean, what's the harm?
And what I see the value, as someone who's participated in a number of hackathons, is that you have that chance to challenge yourself to build something brand new in a lot amount of time without so much the pressure of, if I screw this up, it means my job. It's gonna negatively affect my career. There's the pressure of, you know, if the hackathon has prizes, you could be like, well, I really want to win that $250 gift card. But if I don't win that, you walk out learning something new. It's not really detrimental. So you can really just go out on a limb and really challenge yourself.
Yeah, it's almost like a microcosm, too, because you should, if you didn't win a hackathon, you should take that as an opportunity to reflect and really ask yourself, why didn't I win, and why did the groups that won, why did they win? It's almost like a litmus test of what phase of enlightenment you're in, because if you're like, I didn't win because they, you know, it was unfair for some reason or whatever, you might want to check in with that. You just might want to look at, you know, why that is. But if you can say, oh, you know what, they actually did have a much better idea or a much better presentation or something like that, those are the learning moments. And I think learning in itself is challenging in a way. I think having knowledge is really good. The learning process sucks.
Yeah.
It's not fun, you know, and it's not meant to be.
But that's another good point about ways as a developer to challenge yourself. So hackathons are a great way to go in there and like start to build something that builds off that. And you mentioned this happens in hackathons as well, is working with a new technology or something you've never used before. Like, that could be a challenge. It could be harder on your day job to say, for this project, I'm going to use this brand new technology, because there's a lot of risk there. But if you say, I'm going to dedicate X number of my free time to trying this side project or to learning this new technology because it's up and coming or relates to my job, that's a good way to challenge yourself as well, is what I see.
It's almost like speculation. Like, I want to like make a comparison to financial speculation. When you're choosing a new technology to look at, you have to really just dive in and pick one, maybe two, that you can get really good at. So that's a challenge in and of itself, is evaluating technologies and evaluating how things work. What's another way to challenge yourself? Performing code reviews.
That's like,
it's hard.
Yeah, it is.
You know, to ask yourself, I'm looking at, like, you know, and it's especially if it's like 4 p.m. on a Wednesday or something like that, you're just like staring at the screen and I'm looking at this 10 lines of code, like, what does this do? Why?
It's really hard to apply your full mental capabilities to every code review, because there can be those times, depending on time of the week, time of the day, or stage of the project, where you're just like, glance, approve. But if you challenge yourself to be like, every time I do a code review, I'm going to really dedicate and look at it and review it, just as you would want someone to do that, because then you're going to provide great feedback to your fellow developers, and you're going to hopefully get that back from them.
I don't know. Learning a new technology is cool. There's always that thing that you read that's like, learn an imperative language, learn a declarative language, learn an object-oriented language, and learn that other thing. And it's like, yeah, I think that's cool for maybe beginners, maybe people in like the first one or two phases there. But then it's like, you need to learn something that's going to give you the time back that you put into doing that. Not just how to use those things, but why you need to use those things.
The challenge there is to challenge yourself to learn the fundamentals that everything else is built on top of. Whether you come from like a computer science background or not, like you come from a music background.
Yeah.
So I would challenge you, learn the high level items that go behind those and why, is what you're saying. Because if you understand why something's in place, you're going to understand why it's being used and why it is built the way it is.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, if you're doing model view controller, like, why do I need a controller?
Yeah. Like, why is it architected like this? Where does MVC come from? MVC is this like concept from like the 70s or 80s or something.
It's still around.
Yeah.
It's prevalent.
Xerox thing, I think. And then finally, the ultimate challenge, when you do set up a project that has a complicated build system that does in fact save a bunch of time as you're working through it, and then that one really difficult person on the team goes, why do we have this? Why are we doing all this stuff? Ugh, like, why can't we just write web pages? Being able to calmly sit there and then explain to that person, and I don't mean condescend to, when I use explain, I feel like there's a tone to that, or there's an underlying meaning that you need to like educate that person, but just to be able to navigate that conversation in a way that's beneficial to yourself, that person, everybody who might be listening at that meeting, you know, explaining things to stakeholders about why features were built the way that they were built. You know, like you said, it's the team sport, and that's when it really becomes important. And if you don't internalize those things and you don't, as you said, like build from the foundation up, you're going to fail in that conversation and you're going to have to go back to your desk and undo all the stuff that you just did.
Yeah, for no real reason.
No good reason. So, yeah.
All right. So challenge yourself by going to, say, hackathons, mm-hmm. by working with a new technology, by prospecting different technologies, and then by learning the fundamentals of what goes the underlying layers and how to explain those to other people.
And then I would just add on to that and say that all of that is just a means to the end of getting the work done that you need to get done with the team that you're with.
Yeah.
And, you know, having the outcome that's desirable for everybody. And, you know, hopefully you can do something good in the world.
That's the value of being a developer. That's what I totally think. So, Mark, let me ask you, what would be your one piece of advice for other developers out there?
What's the quote? Like, it gets attributed to Einstein, but I don't actually know if Einstein actually said this. But it was like, if you can't explain something to your grandmother, then you don't understand it. Try to take the most complicated thing that you have at your job and just try to break it down so that it's like the explain like I'm five thing or whatever.
A
5-year-old can explain it. And it's a good thought exercise. Like, just do 3 of them a day as a practice, and you'll find out that your conversations and your communication become so much smoother.
I think that's really helpful advice. I'm going to take that to heart.
Cool.
Try to apply it. All right. So, Mark, thank you for taking the time to sit down and talk on the podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Stepping away from hacking. I'm excited to go back to hacking my project. Great. But all right. Thank you, man.
Thanks for having a podcast.
I want to thank Mark again for taking the time during his hackathon, Hack for the Sea, to sit down with me and talk about the values of challenging yourself as a developer. I think as Mark and I covered, it really gives you a chance to grow. And I really liked his 4 levels of developer enlightenment. I challenge all you listeners to take a moment to stop and reflect and think about which one of those levels you're at and how to move on to the next one. If you're interested in challenging yourself with a hackathon, I might recommend the next Hack for the Sea hackathon, which is happening September 21st to 23rd of 2018 in Gloucester, Massachusetts, which is in New England. So if you happen to be in that area of the United States at that time, maybe attend. You can find out more at hackforthesea.tech. So just a couple more quick takeaways from challenging yourself as a developer. Why you do it? It allows you to figure out ways you want to grow. It gives you a chance to experiment with new technologies and potentially add value to your skill sets. And then ways to do it, there's hackathons, there's picking up a new framework in your free time or finding a chance at your day job to use a new tool that you wouldn't necessarily use. There's things like code reviews and challenge yourself to be open to feedback you receive in those code reviews. And then there is just, like Mark's advice, figuring out the simplest way to explain things that are not full of technical jargon. I think those are all great methods for challenging yourself as a developer to get better at what you do. But those are just the ways that Mark and I covered in the conversation. I'd love to hear more about how you as a developer seek to challenge yourself. Reach out on our show notes page for this episode where you can post your ideas about it. And if you want to share your further thoughts and opinions about this episode or any episode or just development in general, there's a number of outlets you can use. So there's the website, developingup.com, that features our full library of recorded episodes with show notes and sections for comments and conversations. You can find us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast or myself personally at MikeMiles86, or send a good old-fashioned email at hello@developingup.com or to me at Mike@developingup.com. And I'd greatly appreciate your help in reaching a wider development audience. If you could leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you get your podcast, it helps other developers find this podcast and get better at their careers. So until the next episode, I wish you happy developing.